some of the handfuls of purpose. And I'm glad that we have the handfuls of purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has given to us on purpose the grace of God. That which we have is not by accident, it's not by chance, but it's on purpose. And I'm glad as we have studied these chapters in the book of Ruth, I almost called it the Gospel of Ruth. It's not hardly the Gospel, but it certainly gives you the story of the Gospel, how that Jesus Christ, our Boaz, our kinsman redeemer, He give us grace on purpose. Now tonight, if you would, take your Bibles and turn with me once again to the book of Ruth, chapter number 4. This is the fourth in the series of messages that we've brought, been bringing each of them on Sunday morning, but I felt as though this morning we needed to deviate from that and have this message tonight. And we've taken, not really chapter at a time, but we've taken some things out of each one of the chapters. First message we brought on the subject, the freeness of grace. And I'm glad, thank God, our grace is free. It can't be bought by us. It can't be purchased. Grace of God was purchased by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the second message we had was out of the second chapter. And we found not only the freeness of grace, but the fullness of grace. How that we are filled and how that we have sufficiency of life. All these things as the Redeemer gave unto to Ruth, how that Boaz provided grace unto her, and how that grace was given through the work, and how that she pondered that grace. And I tell you what, it'd do good for us if we'd ponder the grace of God. If we'd look upon it, if we'd just rest upon that, and we'd meditate upon it in our hearts, in our minds. And then last week we noticed the third in the series, the fulfillment of grace, how that things were fulfilled in the life of Ruth. And now tonight I want us to look at the finish of grace. And I'm glad God never starts something that He does not finish. When God starts it, He has a completion. He has a date of completion. And so we've been bringing the series entitled Redemption by Love. And certainly, when you think of the love of God, you cannot escape the grace of God. When you think of God's grace, you cannot deviate from it. You cannot take it away from the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for His people. And I want us to read tonight in Ruth chapter number 4 and just begin reading in verse number 7. I think last week we sort of stopped off with verse number 6 where the other kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself. And there our kinsmen, our near kinsmen, our flesh, and the works of the flesh, the works of the law cannot redeem us, but we're redeemed by the grace of God. Now in verse number 7, Ruth chapter 4, we'll see tonight the finish of grace. And in verse 7 says, Now this was the manner in former time in Israel, concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man pluck off his shoe and give it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's at the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. Now we could spiritualize that verse. Thank God we have been taken, we would be cut off out of the land of the living. But we're going to have life because of what Jesus did for us. And Boaz said, I've taken Ruth the Moabitess. He said, I've purchased her. And we find in the New Testament where we have been purchased by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He purchased us, we as individuals. And then the Bible tells us that He purchased and He loved and purchased the church and gave Himself for it. And He said, to raise up a name of the dead upon His inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among His brethren. Thank God this morning, tonight, in the morning, tomorrow night, we're among the land of the living. We're not of the dead anymore. We have life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in verse number 11, and all the people that were in the gate, and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thy house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, and whom Tamar bare unto Judah, the seed of which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said, unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which has not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thy old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath bore him. And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became a nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, this is the son born to Naomi. And they called the name Obed. And he is the father of Jesse, the father of David. We'll stop off reading there. Now, if you would turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 1. Matthew, chapter number 1, verse number 6. Now, here in Matthew 1, we have the genealogies, the generation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 6. The Bible says, well, verse 5, it says, Boaz begat Obed and of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias. Now here we have a continuation of the genealogy. We could go ahead and where we stopped off there in verse number 17, there in Ruth, and we go right over here. It takes up the genealogies once again, right where this one leaves off. But now we're not going to read all those names because I doubt you could read them. I doubt you knew if I was saying them right or not, but we'll not read them. And we'll skip down a few verses. But these are those that beget sons, and these are in the line and the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse number 16, Matthew chapter 1. And Jacob, it's gone all the way down now, from Jesse to David to Solomon. And then it continues on, and it comes down to verse number 16. And this is a different Jacob. It says, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary. Now notice this, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now you'll read in these verses that this one begat this, and this person begat this person. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find there's a changing of the reading here. It does not say that Joseph begat Jesus Christ. You'll see the Word of God is so very meticulous in making sure that we know that Jesus was not born of man. He was not after the seed of man, but he was born of a woman. And you'll find there that Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary. Now here you find Mary mentioned, and it says, of whom was born Jesus. You don't find any begetting there. You find that Jesus just was born of Mary. And you know the story, how the Holy Spirit of God came upon the Virgin Mary, and she conceived and bare a son. They called his name Jesus Christ. And so we find in these verses of Scripture here, in the book of Ruth and also in the Gospel of Matthew, you find that Ruth becomes, and because she has been purchased, because she has been redeemed, she is in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you should turn over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, you'll find there's another genealogy that is given. And it's the genealogy of Mary. And this genealogy in Matthew is of Joseph. In when you come to Mark, or Luke rather, you find that genealogy is of Mary. And once again, you'll find not Ruth's name, but you'll find Obed. You'll find that once again in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 1 and in Luke chapter number 3, we find that Boaz and Ruth, they are in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is all because of the grace of God. Here you have a Moabitess. And we've already studied that Moab was a land of idolatry. Moab was a land that was against God and had no understanding of the God of Israel. But yet, here's a Moabitess girl that makes a journey to Bethlehem. And now she becomes the bride. She becomes the bride of Boaz, which is a type and a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is a Gentile becoming a bride of a Jew. And that's nothing more than a picture and a type of the Gentile bride that Jesus Christ is building and bringing to himself that we have, that we call the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find that these things in typology and in picture show us the finish of God's grace. You'll notice that these things are given in Matthew. That genealogy only goes back to Abraham. But in Luke, it goes all the way back to Adam. And so we find that these genealogies, and I know sometimes they're hard to read, and we don't understand all the words, but they're there for a purpose. They're there for a reason that we know that the lineage and the line of the Lord Jesus Christ was a pure line. From Joseph, his supposed father, and even Mary, his mother. And so we find these things as all because of grace. And in Ruth chapter 4, we find the finish of grace. We see how grace is given. He loved her from the very first. You'll read, as we read in these verses, as we've already read, you'll find that the very moment that Boaz cast his eyes upon Ruth, he begins to have a love for her. And I'm glad tonight that when Jesus Christ looked down through the portals and the ages of glory, that God, through His Son, had a love for you and I. From the very beginning, from the very first, God loved us. And God had in His heart and in His mind that He said, I'm going to go and I'm going to purchase my son a bride. And thank God we have that today in this age in which we live. So we find that He loved her from the very first. We find that He loaded her with food there. As that song, as they sang just a moment ago, it talked about the handfuls of purpose. Boaz said, give her plenty to eat now. And he said, give her handfuls of purpose that she'll have plenty afterward. I'm glad God supplies our needs now, and He'll supply them in the future. He'll give us handfuls of purpose that we'll look to Him and we'll know that we've been purchased by the grace of the Son of God, that He loved us when we were yet unlovable, when we were ungodly and we were undone. God still loved us and sent His Son that we'd have life forevermore. And it's all because of grace. He looked after her. He took care of her. He desired to have her because He loved her. And I'm glad, thank God, one day we're going to hear the sound of the trumpet, the voice of the archangel. And it's because that Jesus Christ desires that we be with Him forever and forever. And so we find the finish of grace. Grace has brought her from the harvest fields, and now she is in the home of Boaz. She was a sinner, now she is in the home and representative of the saints of the living God. We sang the song, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. And I believe it's the third verse says, though through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come, till grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. I'm glad, thank God, we have something that will lead us home. We're not left here to wander. We're not left here to thumb around in the dark and not able to see, not able to know what's around us, not able to know what's going on. God has revealed Himself unto us. God has given us the things of life. God has given us His Son. His Son gave His life that we as the sinner, we as the one that was a sinner in the field, might go free because of the grace of God. Here we find that Ruth is a type of the sinner. She came to His house as a sinner. She sat with Him. She found His grace. And now the fulfillment or the finish of grace is before her, where we just read just a moment ago. And you'll find there in verse number 11 that the people at the gate said, we're witnesses of these things. Let these come on. And verse 13 says, so Boaz took Ruth and she was his wife. And God gave her conception and she bare a son. And that son is in the lineage and the line of King David and the greater David, the Lord Jesus Christ. So by grace we find that Ruth has been brought out of the field of sin, and she's been placed in the very lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a great thing it is. What a great God we have. Doesn't matter if you're Jew, Gentile, whatever you are, God says there's room at the cross for you. There's room for me. There's room one day for you. There's room one day for me, and there's room for the multitudes of people that would come unto Him even today. I read the column today in the newspaper Jack Anderson wrote, and he was telling about some of the things there in Saudi Arabia. Said there's some 700 chaplains over there. And they've baptized over 100 young men. Whether they all got saved or not, that's not for me to know. But thank God, people can have the grace of God wherever they are, whatever condition they're in, wherever it might be. We find that the grace of God can find us wherever we might be in our life. But the Bible says in Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 6, I believe I read this verse last week, but I want to read it again. It says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm glad we have a performing God. We have a God that gives His performance, and He will do exactly what He says He will do. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. There's the finish of grace. There we find the finish of the work of grace in your life. And in my life is when we go home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the grace of God was finished in Ruth's life, that she became the bride and she became the wife of Boaz. They bare a son. And through that grace and through that manifestation of God's pleasure upon her, we find we have the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. What God started in us, He will finish. I'm confident of this one thing, of this very thing, that He that hath begun a good work in you. If you're saved tonight, thank God He's begun a good work in you. you're a child of God, you're a child of the King, and He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When is that day? I'm not sure exactly on the time of that, but I know one thing, when we come to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, He will have performed the full work of grace in my life and your life. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter number 8. You know where I'm going there. You know those verses well. In Romans chapter number 8, the Scripture again speaks concerning the grace of God, for we know that all things work together. Everything that comes in my life, everything that comes in your life, for those of us who are the called according to the purpose of God, is for our good. It may not be good right at the moment, it may not be joyous right at the moment, but everything, if we believe the Word of God, then we've got to believe that everything that comes our way is for our good. Now it says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. What is that? That's nothing more than the grace of God. Called according to the purpose of God. He looked down and He calls upon us. And He says, come to me, ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Your burdens are heavy. He said, but my burdens are light. Thank God tonight we have been called according to the purpose of God. And that purpose is to bring us to the cross of Calvary, to show us the one dying there upon the cross, that shedding His blood, that we would have life and have it eternal, everlasting. There's the finish. There is the beginning of grace in our heart. But there's going to be something performed in us until the day of Jesus Christ. And that grace that started out in us, it'll wind up in glory. I'm glad tonight we've got a final abode, and it's in heaven. It says in verse number 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? There is the finish of grace. There is the completion of the grace of God in the believer's heart. Now, I don't know how some people that they think maybe they're in sometime, they're not in other times. But these verses here instill in us and teach us that when we become a child of God, we that have been worked after the purpose of God, called according to His purpose, all things work together for our good, those of us that are saved, and one day we're going to be glorified with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the finish of God's grace. Verse number 29, verse number 30, those two verses are the strongest, some of the strongest verses you'll find anywhere upon the security of the believer. We are secure in Jesus Christ. I'm not secure because what I have done. I'm not secure in my prayers. I'm not secure in my faith, but I am secure in the Son of God. I'm secure in Him. You'll notice here, and some folks, they run backward when they read these words. You'd be surprised, a lot of Baptist preachers won't even read hardly these verses because it has the word predestinate and foreknowledge and all those things. But folks, those are biblical terms. Those are Bible terms that we better understand and we better know. Someone preached the other day there at the preacher's meeting. Boy, he got some comments. Maybe not to him, but he got some comments. You know what he was preaching about? He's preaching about the sovereignty of God. And folks, there's a lot of people today that do not believe in the sovereign work of God in the life of a believer. And I'm telling you, I do. I believe God's Word. I believe God's sovereign. I believe God does with us as He so chooses. I believe in the sovereign grace of God, that He looks upon us and He chooses us according to His grace. And He looks down through eternity and He knows who's going to be saved and who's not. Foreknowledge. If my God doesn't know, then He's not God. If God doesn't know what I'm going to be doing tomorrow at this time, He's not God. If God didn't know last year where I'd be this year, He's not God. And if God didn't know an eternity past before the world was ever in existence, what was going on in 1991, He's still not God. And my God is a God that knows all from the end to the beginning and all that's in between. He's God. And so we find here, these verses tell us that whom He foreknew, the Scripture says He predestinated. Now a lot of folks just stop there. Predestinated to what? Why, it tells you right here, we're predestinated to become conformed to the very image of the Son of God. We are predestined. Now if you look up the word destiny, that means a place that you're going. If you're going out to the East Coast or the West Coast, or if you're going to Tennessee, or if you're going to Owensboro, you have a destination. You are going to go there. And by the grace of God, you will arrive there. And this is exactly what God tells us here. That those whom He foreknew, Brother, He predestinated us to become conformed to the very image of the Son of God. And that'll not happen here on this earth. That'll happen in heaven. I'm just as sure as going to heaven as I am standing here tonight if I'm saved. You're just as sure for heaven. You say, well, what if this happens? What if that happens? The Bible says, those whom He foreknew. And if you are saved by the grace of God, He foreknew you. And He predestinated that one day you would stand in the very presence of the Son of God and be just like Jesus Christ. Now, that's Bible. If you argue, take up the book. I don't understand it all. But I know that's what the Word of God teaches. We are going to be conformed to the very image of the Son of God, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's security. I don't know how you get out of that. Verse number 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinated, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. There's security that one day we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the finish of grace. What shall we say then to these things? Paul asked. What are we going to do with this? Well, all Paul said, I can say, if God be for us, who's going to be against us? And those verses sure do sound like God's for us, doesn't it? I mean, it sounds pretty definite that I'm going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. Why? Because God's predestinated. I have a destination. He has predetermined it. And if He has predetermined it, then I'm going to get there. I'm going to make it. I don't have to worry. I don't have to hold on. I don't have to pray and wonder and cry and say, oh, I wonder if I'm going to be saved today, or wonder if I've done too much that I might lose it today. I wonder. I'd hate to live in that. My Bible tells me that we are predestinated to become conformed to the image of the Son of God, who those whom He foreknow, He did those things, and one day we'll be glorified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's hard, hard doctrine for some people to understand. But that's just as Bible, that's just as straight as I can say it, and you go any further than that, you've gone too far. God saw down through the portals of time that one day in a certain year, in a certain place, at a certain time, God knew that I'd get saved. If He didn't know that, I'm in bad shape tonight. My God knows that. He understood that. And then it says here, He called me. Thank God I've been called by the grace of God. I've been called by the Word of God, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, I believe and I preach, and the more I state, the more I believe it, and the more I stand upon it, that my salvation, it was not determined upon any one thing that I did. It was determined by what God did for me upon Calvary's tree. Salvation by the grace of the Son of God. You say, well, didn't you have faith? Yes, I had faith. Didn't you pray? Yes, I prayed. But who gave me the ability to have faith? Who gave me the ability to call upon the Son of God? Who gave me the desire to even do that? I'm telling you, there's not an individual that's ever alive on Adam's race in Adam's time, from Adam to now, that there's not a one that would call upon the Son of God outside of the work of the Holy Spirit upon their life. We are foreigners. We're aliens. We're alienated from the grace of God. But it takes the Spirit of God to energize us and to quicken our spirit and make us realize that we're dirty and undone and filthy and unclean and deserving hell. And then God shows us a mirror, and we see ourselves as God sees us, as unclean and a sinner in the sight of God. And we see ourselves as God sees us. And you know what we do then? We take upon ourselves and say the same thing about us as God says about us. God says unclean, and I have to say unclean. God says you're guilty, and I have to say that I'm guilty. By the grace of God, I have been stood and placed in the front of the mirror of God's grace, and I find myself wanting. I've been judged in the balances of God, and I find that I come up short. And oh, thank God one day I came to know Him. And the Spirit of the Lord dealt with my heart and made me realize I was a lost, undone sinner, hell-bound, deserving to go to hell. But He said, if you'll come, son, I'll take care of you. And now He's called us by His grace. He's placed us in the very family of God. And those whom He called, He justified. And by the way, that justification takes place at salvation. Justified, just as if we'd never sinned. That's a legal term. It's a term of being acquitted. It's a term of being pardoned. It's a term that we've been wiped clean. I ordered a tape the other day about a man that we put out a book. Many of you may have read it. Some of you have, I know. Called Twice Pardoned. It's a man that went to prison, really, deservingly, and he was pardoned. He got saved, and later on he was pardoned by the governor of the state where he was. And he goes everywhere now preaching the gospel, telling folks. And I got the tapes of that, and boy, I enjoyed listening to that. Twice pardoned. Boy, thank God I've been pardoned by the Son of God. My sins are gone. Thank God they're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. But he was pardoned here upon the earth, and he is pardoned in heaven. And so we find that we have life, and we're justified. That's the word, that's the term, pardon, justified in the sight of God. And then that which is in the future for us, we're going to be glorified one day. We're going to be with the Lord. But Jesus, Paul writes about it as if it's in the past tense. He says, we have been glorified. Brother George, have you been glorified yet? If you have, you would steal Brother Mike's sermons and steal his Bible. I told you I'd get him back, Mike. Brother Floyd, have you been glorified yet? Now, you better say no. Linda's back there saying, yes, you're right. He hasn't been. I know better than that. But we have not been glorified yet. But all the fullness of grace and the finish of grace in the mind of God, we have been glorified. We stand in sight of God as complete, as pure. Do you realize that God does not see us as a sinner? God does not look upon our sin. God cannot look upon sin. God sees me through Jesus Christ. Oh, what a blessed thought that is. What a knowledge it is to know that God sees me, but He sees me through His Son. And I'm justified, I'm glorified in the very mind of God. Now, these fellows and these folks that think they can lose it, I don't know how they get around that. Because we are glorified if we've ever been saved. If a person's saved, they're just as sure for heaven as if they're already there. My name's there. My mansion's there. Thank God in the eyes of God, I'm there. And one day I shall be there. There's the finish of grace. My, that's not even the mess. This is just all introduction. But oh, the greatness of our God and the goodness of our God. How that God loves us and He gave Himself. Notice here what else it says. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us, for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who's He going to give that to? He's going to give it to that crowd that's been glorified. He's going to give it to us. Take it in context. Then it says here, who shall anything to the charge of God's elect? Oh, there's another word. Boy, some people run backward on. But folks, if you're saved, you can just write her down. You can put out, sign your name, John Doe, and put out beside it, elect of God. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? It says, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. It's not us. It's God that does that. It's not what we do. It's not our prayer. It's not our faith. It's not all that. It's what God does in us and gives us the faith to call upon His name. You say, boy, you sound like a hard shell. No, I'm still right where I've always been. I believe the Word of God. I believe in the sovereignty of God's grace and love and mercy toward us. By the way, this is the historical position that people have believed since the time of Jesus Christ. That does away with this easy believism stuff. That's why they don't like to talk about it. That's why they don't like to preach about it. That's why they don't like... I tell you what, when you're talking about salvation, I believe it takes the convicting power of God to save an individual. You can't climb up a tree with somebody, chase a cat and lead them to the Lord. I don't believe that stuff. You can't take 30 seconds in an elevator and lead somebody to the Lord that's never heard the gospel. I don't believe that. Salvation takes a convicting power of God. It takes the Word of God. You say you don't believe it can happen quickly. I sure do. I believe it can happen just in a twinkling of an eye. And I believe it takes the preparation, the preparing of the ground of the heart. It takes God sometimes plowing us. It takes God dealing with us. It takes God working on us and making us see what we are. You know what, folks, today, oh, they give their glowing reports. They had this many saved, this many saved, this many saved. I think we ought to quit our bragging and just start getting back to preaching. Amen. You read it in the papers, you read it everywhere. I heard somebody say the other day, how many had saved and all this stuff. I don't have any time for that. I believe we ought to go try to get every one of them. God, or you're not going to get them. If you don't do it God's way, you won't do it anyway. If God doesn't convict that person, I've been in a person's house and I've talked to folks and there was no conviction on their heart, and I could have led them through a little form and a fashion of a prayer, and I could have told them that they'd be all right and they could have gone to hell. Now, this is not very popular in some of my preacher brethren. That's all right, too. And I've been in the house and dealt with someone, and I've had preachers say, "Did you lead them to the Lord?" I said, "No, sure didn't." "Well, what'd you do?" I said, "We had prayer and I went home." If God doesn't convict them, I can't. And if there is no conviction of sin, there is no salvation. I don't care what anybody says. If a man does not have conviction upon his heart, and you can call it what you want to call it, you can put any term on it you want to put on it, but if God does not convict that man and he know that he's a sinner, he'll leave there and you'll leave there and he'll still be a sinner. And he can say, "God be merciful to me, a sinner, 10,000 times and go to hell." I'm talking about a subject, the grace of God. And it's a lot harder than most people think it is. It's a lot more difficult than most people think it is. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? If it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Who's that word "us"? That's those of us that have been glorified in the sight of God. Jesus Christ makes intercession for us. And then those great verses, verse 35 through 39. "Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, 'For thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter.' Nay, in all these things," the Bible says, "we are more than conquerors through Christ that loved us." Oh yes, all these things may come upon us, but those of us that have been called and justified and predestinated to become conformed to the image of the Son of God, those of us that have been glorified, all of these things may come upon us, but we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. We're going to have the victory. We're going to have the end, the finish of grace. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." There's the finish of grace. There is the completion of God's grace that he put upon mankind when he looked down the portals of time and he sent his Son. You see, in the mind of God, Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before. Adam and Eve's sin didn't take God by surprise, because God, in the times and eternity before man ever existed, before God said, "Let there be light," before God said, "I create the heaven and earth," before all that, God said, "My Son, as a lamb slain before the foundation," before God even laid the foundation of this world that this old earth spins upon, God said, "My Son's going to die." That's God's grace. And in the process of time, his Son was born. The fullness of time, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Born, made of a woman, made in the likeness of man." And there he lived some 33 years and lived upon this earth. He did no evil, did no harm to anyone, did no sin, did nothing wrong. And they took him, those evil men of Israel, those men of the Jews, those men of the Romans, they took him and put him upon an old rugged cross, an old Roman cross, and put him on the ground, put him on that tree and slammed it in the ground. But that happened in the eternity past as a lamb slain. And he's given us from Genesis all the way through, has given us a picture and a type of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. The book of Hebrews said that daily the priest ministered. Then once a year the priest would go in and he'd offer that Passover lamb, that sacrifice. But all, thank God, our lamb did it once. There's the finish of grace. There's the completion of God's grace. But it happened in days gone by, before the world ever spun on its axis, before there was ever a sunrise, before there was ever a star that twinkled in the sky, before there was ever an ocean wave. God said, "My Son is a lamb slain before the foundation of the world." Oh, thank God for his grace, folks. And we tonight, we're going to be in heaven one day because of the grace of God. I'm not even going to give you even my outline ahead. Before I start, I believe I'll just study a little bit in Romans chapter 8. Folks, there's the grace of God. And you know what the finish of God's grace in my life is? Is that one day I'm going to heaven. That's the finish of it for me. He's already completed. He's already done it. It's already taken care of. But just as there was a process of time and Jesus was born and died, rose again, ascended to heaven, coming back, taking us to glory. Just as that is the process of time. There's a process of time that I'm going through, and one day I'm going to heaven. That's my finish of grace. That's my completion. I have a purchased home. I have a prepared home. I have a home that's far beyond the starry skies. We have come this far by faith and by grace, and we'll continue to do that. We'll continue. We have a place that is a place that's far better than anything this old world has to offer. Oh, yes, Ruth. There, that stranger in the field. There, she came and she sought and she found His grace. And He finished it with her. She became His bride. And one day, thank God, we'll be finished in the Lord, complete in Him. That which God, I'm confident of this very thing, that whatsoever God, what He started in me, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Are you going home? Are you going to heaven? God's finished grace on His side. Now what about you? What about your life? Finished grace. I'm a product of grace, but I'm not a finished product yet. I'm not finished. As the little song says that the children sing, He's still working on me. He does this. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, but He's still working on me. It took Him just a little while to do all of His creation, but He still has to work on me. But boy, thank God one day He's going to say, finished. His work was finished on Calvary. He cried with a loud voice, it is finished. And there it was complete in Him. And one day He'll finish it in my life. I'll make my journey through this pathway of life, and I'll be ushered into heaven. It'll be finished for me. The finish of grace. Thank God, thank God, thank God tonight. We're saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. The finish of God's grace. Has He begun it in you? If He has, He will complete it. He'll finish it. Let's stand tonight.